Radio City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Right, we're talking technology and football and how the game is just moving on in leaps and bounds. Delighted to welcome a good friend of mine and also the man who leads Global Coach, Emil Coleman. Morning, Chair Emil.
Morning, how are you?
Yeah, very good. Great to have you up here. Right, I've known about Global Coach for quite a few years, and you've obviously told me about the development of it. There'll be people out there who are saying, Global Coach, what is it? Put it in a nutshell for people, and that's quite hard because it's not exactly something you can explain in a one-minute soundbite, but what is it?
If you asked me that a few years ago, I'd been able to tell you. Now, it's like, think about the cleverest ecosystem for football. So being able to take what's in a manager's or a coach's head and allow them to get it out of their head and to communicate that, whether that be with players, whether that be with other coaches. It doesn't really matter who it is. It breaks down language barriers. It visualises it. If you've got 15 seconds and you're bringing a sub on the side of a pitch, how do you get your message across to that person? What if they speak a different language? All them different factors combine into either big problems or you need a really clever solution, and we're the clever solution.
Yeah, and you're a very clever solution. It's a computer system, essentially. You can watch it on a big screen. Managers use it to sort of inform their players, maybe about things as basic as positional, in terms of a positional sense on a field.
It's actually one of the hardest things to do is to show position. So if you look at set pieces, which is really a massive part of the game, because it's one of the only few definables you've got in the game, because it's a game of chaos, essentially. In that, you know, where do you stand in a set piece? Well, it's not as simple as where you stand. It's where you look, what position your body's in, what actual angle. Am I doing it the right way? A manager might ask you to do it in an incorrect way for a particular reason. Is there a counterattack? Is there X? Is there Y? We allow them to show that really, really quickly, but really, really cleverly.
Right. I hope you're sort of getting the idea of this. To put it in sort of layman's terms, imagine if you were a player and you were sat in a changing room or just sat in a briefing room the day before, and the manager brought you in, he brought a big video screen in, and he, on this video screen was essentially a map of the pitch. And then with on the pitch, that they've got the different numbers of the players. You might be one of those players. And this computer system can hone in on individuals. In other words, Emil here and his team can sort of type your name in, your details, and it can, one of those figures on the computer screen can be you, and it can analyse your details down to the finest margin.
Essentially, yeah. And sometimes it's as simple as telling a player, just, you know, what way do I need to look? Where do I actually need to be on the pitch? Because those things about communication, actually, when you've got 15 or 20 seconds, are the most important things in the world right now. So if you look at last night, you look at the Ireland game, you look at the substitutions, imagine the amount of pressure on the managerial team, the pressure on the players going on. How do you communicate in that time? You want it to be clear. You want it to be concise. You want them to know. So your preparation needs to be really, really good. And I think we've seen that, you know, especially with the Euros, you look at what Wales have done. Obviously, we have a bias because Wales are one of our teams, but you see their level of detail and their approach, and they maximise what they've got. Compare that to some of the bigger traditional nations who might approach it in a different way.
It shows how football's gone to this ultimate analytical sense, hasn't it?
I don't know whether that's right or wrong. There's a focus on analytics. Whether they're right or they're wrong is another question.
But they should be used.
They should be used, and there's a place for them. And we argue this all the time. So there's a bit of a myth about technology in football. And I think a lot of the time people think it comes down to numbers. It's one aspect of it. And sometimes it can dominate a little bit more than it should. You look at buying a player, for instance, and, you know, you'll hear the money ball theory. We see it a lot, obviously, being in this city. And you see, you know, how do we buy a player? Is it based on the statistics? Is it based on X or Y? But actually, you still need someone to go out there and look at them. And if you look at the stages of buying that player, it'll still come down to a manager calling another manager or another player and asking, what are they like in the changing room? What are they like on the training field? You can't get that from numbers. And unfortunately, you see that sometimes when players are bought by numbers, they don't work out and you wonder why. A lot of times that's the reasons why. And we kind of argue with analysts quite a lot about that, because analysts end up having a lot of power. But when you see a manager get sacked in a club, you see the manager getting sacked and not the analyst. And that's where it's dangerous. So you have to trust your analyst and you have to know that they're right in what they're giving you in their information. And we kind of try and give the power back to the manager and the coach themselves. So instead of them picking up a phone and saying to an analyst, can you give me the information on that player, and getting an interpretation, they can look at the player themselves and get the information, you know, the information and make their own mind up. Mm. That's a big thing now in football because there's so much pressure on managers and coaches.
So it's a tool, and it's all about how much you use that tool. It's essentially, it's how much you want to put that into the other elements of it. You can use, I mean, some managers use gut sense and, you know, common sense as well, and those are things that'll always be there. But it's how much you use this tool within it, isn't it?
Completely right. And you know, you see some managers and coaches being really clever how they use things, and you know, there's this new breed of manager, if you like, and you know, not so much a younger manager, but a different approach in managers. And we're seeing that all the time now, where even old school managers essentially are looking at technology, are looking at how it can help them, because they know they need it, they know they have to use it, they know they need to adopt it, because actually in the end it's going to make them better. And if it makes them better, it makes the team better, and the team go out and win, because that's what it's all about in the end. And we kind of lose focus on that sometimes.
Now, the great thing about this is it's developed in Liverpool. Emile's a Liverpool lad. It's consistently being developed, and having tracked its progress, it's brilliant to see where it's at. We're talking about a piece of technology that is in top football clubs already and is growing. But also, as you mentioned, the Wales team have used it to great effect. Just chart and tell me a little bit about how Chris Coleman and his guys have used this bit of global coach technology.
Well, we've been working with Wales now, I think, for close to 3 years. And 3 years ago, and this kind of shows you where they are. Oshin Roberts, who's their technical director and who's Chris Coleman's assistant, came to us, just give us a call, and came to Liverpool and sat with us. And this was in our early days. He said, oh, I'd like to work with you. I remember what you used to do. And we just started to talk, and we built this relationship, which turned into a partnership. And we worked with them throughout their campaign, and we supported them. It's not down to us. You know, you'll see loads of companies jumping on the bandwagon saying we've done this and we've done that. We haven't. We've supported them. They've done the hard work, but they're years ahead in their approach. They're such a small country, but with a big attitude and a big, you know, very aspirational approach. So they know what they can do, and they keep going, and they push and push and push. But what they do really well is they plan, and they're very smart and clever with it. And that's why you see now Wales, as an organisation and as a country and as an FA, are leading the world in many ways. And, you know, you look at all the ex-players, as soon as they're retiring or before they retire, are going to Wales to do all the UEFA Pro qualifications.
They are. They're doing the qualifications there, aren't they?
And, you know,
Thierry Henry.
We work with Thierry Henry, Patrick Vieira, you know, you name it. We're working with Mikel Arteta, who's just, you know, retiring from Arsenal now, who we think will probably end up in the north somewhere. They're all coming to Wales because they get the best education, they get the best understanding. And, you know, because of things like this, because how they use technology, they want to be good managers. They want to be the best coaches. So where do they go? They go to where they get the best education. And you see that both from UEFA qualification, but you're seeing it on the pitch now with Wales as well. I mean, look at what they've done. It's a tiny country considering. And you look at that against England. It could have been so very different without that last minute goal. You know, Wales could have had, you know, 2-1 essentially. They've done so well considering. And, you know, where can they go next? They can keep going. They're a real dark horse. You know, I've seen them up close, how they play. I've seen what they can do. And their belief, and you can't factor that out, their belief is phenomenal.
And you think that's because they've addressed all parts of the circle, if you like. So one might be what you're talking about, the technology and the research and the, I keep using that word analytics, it doesn't quite fit with football,
but it's part of it, isn't it?
And they've gone to every inch to sort of make sure that those boxes are ticked.
But also the psychology behind it as well. One of the first things he did, and I don't think a lot of people realise this, and I've seen various articles written about it, they brought a psychologist in to work with them, not just the players, the coaching staff. And they brought them in a few years ago. And they started to work with the coaching staff. And that element of belief, you know, they have this, the tagline, if you like, is together stronger. I've never seen anything more truer than that. The fact that they had a psychologist work with the staff, which then permeates all the way down, because, you know, we see psychologists, we see it being used in Liverpool, we see them being used at all the top elite level clubs. But to actually bring them into work with the staff is the smarter thing to do when you think about it, because sometimes players can be resistant. I mean, if you're a top class player, do you really want to put your hand up and say, I want to work with a psychologist? Well, you're seeing that much more now, but traditionally in the past, no, it didn't really happen, or maybe it was behind a closed door. They brought them into work with the coaching staff. So prepping the coaching staff, getting them in the right frame of mind. And, you know, obviously there were so many things which had gone on in Wales as well, which actually the psychologists helped with in different ways too. Look at them now. Look at what they're doing. You know, they went out and they won the last game, and they're fearless going through. We're just really proud to be kind of, you know, we're proud and privileged to witness it and to kind of give them any help or support where they need it. But who knows where they're going to go? It's going to get interesting.
So when you were creating their global coach model, or when you've developed it or enhanced it over the years, have they asked for specific things within it that would help them?
Yeah, I mean, they have particular ways of doing this. One of the first things we did for the Euros was they needed another, I think, 70-inch touchscreen TV, so we had that, I think, shipped straight out to France for them for prep, because of how they prep. They prep in a particular way. There's been various things at times where they wanted a feature where they could show when someone was out of position and it'll snap back to them being in position. So imagine if you've come in at half time and you've worked on a set piece and you haven't done it properly in the first half, and you know you can drag the player out and go, look, you were here, and when you let go it snaps back, but that's where you should be. That takes seconds. Imagine drawing that with X's and O's and trying to visualise. I mean, that's where the contradiction is in the game. You know, and listen, the clubs in this city are prime examples of this. But Liverpool and Everton, whilst they're really good at what they do, you'll walk in and they'll still be using paper on a board or a board with magnetic markers. It's like the dinosaurs, if you know what I mean, because you're asking players to visualise movement with things which don't move. It's just stupid. And that's what we can't understand. Mm. We always have a light bulb moment, and there's a video of Thierry Henry using the software. And he's using the software and he gets it. We're showing him something and he gets it and he turns to the camera and he laughs, because all the frustration goes, because he knows what's in his head has just been sorted on a screen, and he knows he can now go out onto the pitch, work with his team and explain to them what he wants them to do. That's such a great tool.
It's almost, the most simplistic way to describe this, it's a massively enhanced version of that thing you see on Sky where Jamie Carragher's moving figures around on the screen. That, but 100 times better with a whole load of information thrown into it.
You can basically do anything that, you can create anything that happens on a pitch, both from a tactical or a training perspective, but then you can do like a million other things. So you can track the player throughout the playing life. We have something called the player passport, and we were talking about buying players before. So you click on the player passport, and one of the first things you can click on is you can click on the social media tab, and all the social media comes up. So like Twitter, for instance, comes up. And we used to describe it as a really clever tool for clever people, and this social media aspect of it. And one of the top clubs in the world said, it's a clever tool for stupid people. And we kind of looked at them. And the way they explained it was, it's because you're seeing what people are doing wrong with it. So you're seeing, you know, players leak stuff all the time by accident. You know, is there an injury, you know, a sad face because he just come out of training and they're injured, or you know, they might say something about they're going to watch the game when they haven't been picked, or various different things. So there's a huge amount of information on social media now, so instead of like trawling through Twitter finding the player, going through it all, and it takes so long, you just click on the player and all the information comes up. But it's also great when you're buying a player, because what do you see? You see part of the profile. You see what they're giving out. So they may
the
be great on...
Exactly. Yeah.
So they may be great on the pitch, but what happens when they've been subbed and then they like bitch against the manager almost or something? It'll come up that way. So there's little things like that. The difference with what we do, which is fundamentally different to any other company in the world, is everything's created by football professionals. So everything you see in the software has a story, because it's come from a Wales or a Chris Coleman. It's come from a manager. It's come from, you know, the mind of Rafa. It's come from X, Y, someone in the MLS. Mm. We just work, we work literally all over the world now. And you were talking before about...
Well, you're in like American football, aren't you? American
we're going
sports,
into American football, yeah. We worked with the Seattle Seahawks last year. So they were, you know, Super Bowl winning, one of the biggest NFL franchises. And they took us out to Seattle, and we basically trained with them. They just opened up their doors, which is unique, and we sat and watched what they did. They gave us an office on the training facility and just absorbed everything. And we're going to go into American football, and we're going to do that with the other sports. But having that ability to do that, you know, we're sitting here today, and I know there's the business festival going on in Liverpool, and it's quite ironic that we have nothing to do with that, or you know, we're not being heralded. And not a lot of people know what we do, because we work so much outside, but also because we work in football, we're quite confidential and close with what we do as well, because you have to respect that too. But then when you get a success like Wales, and you see all the hard work that they've put into it over the qualifying campaign, and now, well, you do want to kind of shout about it, not just for us, but for their achievement too.
It's great. You're a forerunner in your area. You've received plenty of accolades as well. I saw something recently with Rafa giving you an accolade for a certain award. You're working with various sort of clubs at all levels, really, aren't you? Because it's not just a football thing, because it applies right across the board.
When we created the software, one of the first things we did was we wanted to be a legacy. And, you know, I never go far away from the fact that Rafa was the founder and creator of the software. And, you know, Rafa's a genius in his approach and he's years ahead of anyone else in his ways. You know that better than anyone. We wanted it to reflect that legacy. And, you know, how do you do that? Well, you want it at all levels of the sport. So we created a junior product, more so for North America, because what people don't realise in Europe is how big football or soccer is there. Now, we think we have it big here. We don't compared to over there. They're grassroots as such. They call it youth. We can't compete with that. It's so big. It's phenomenal. They have the potential to in 10, 12, 14 years to actually do something really big on the world stage because of what they're doing with their youth infrastructure right now. So we created this product called Global Coach Junior, and there's no product like it in the world, where basically it takes every level of what you do with kids and it puts it all into, you know, this piece of software. So your registration, your attendance, your feedback, so your coaches, so the parent can log in and, you know, open it up on the phone and see what the coach has said about the son or the daughter playing football or soccer, see the feedback, they can see a video of them, they can see absolutely everything in for kids. And imagine pushing that all the way through, so kids now have the opportunity to use aspects of what you can use in the elite level game. Because let's face facts, the approach in a way is no different. It's just different levels. So why shouldn't kids receive the best coaching and the best tools available to them to make them the best players? And that's what we're trying to do as well.
Emil, absolutely brilliant to have you in. Global Coach, you want to have a little look more about it? www.globalwith2lscoach.com.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.